It is time for TY's 20 right here on WordPress Radio. The Green Bay Packers, once again, on top of the NFL world, once again, Super Bowl champions. And this year was another great Super Bowl to watch as a fan of the game. I've just got a few final notes about the NFL for this podcast, and then we'll move on from football for quite a while. But first off, hats off to the Packers, a team that barely made the playoffs. I felt like they got hot at the right time. I felt like it was Aaron Rodgers' time to shine on the big stage. And for that reason, I picked them in all of the games in the playoffs, and they helped me win my NFL Pick'em League, so I'm very grateful to them. But they overcame some huge injuries throughout this season and in the Super Bowl. I feel like the Colts still had more injuries than the Packers, but you gotta admit, the Pack did one heck of a job to win a world championship despite all those injuries. Very, very impressive. And they're going to have a great team next year as well. On the other side, Ben Roethlisberger, he's another guy with more rings than Peyton Manning, but he's also only played well in one of his three Super Bowl games. Not to take anything away from him or the Steelers, you can't win them all. But as you know by now, I like to throw in little tidbits here and there about how a quarterback can only do so much in terms of winning championships. Without the Mendenhall fumble, we may be talking about the Steelers championship today and not Green Bay. But overall, it was a great season in the NFL. Hopefully there's no lockout. Hopefully they resolve the issue of whether or not to add two games to the regular season or not. Hopefully Brett Favre stays retired this time. And hopefully everything is normal next season as next year's Super Bowl comes to Indianapolis. Can't wait for that. We've got a lot to talk about on today's podcast, but before we do, I wanted to throw this out there to all the fans listening. The next 6 weeks on this show, starting next week, we're going to do a preview of every division in baseball. Somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes of each podcast, the next 6 weeks will be dedicated to previews, predictions, and analysis from every single division. And you know, Fantasy Baseball League start back up this week, as they often do the week after the Super Bowl. So tune into the podcast for Fantasy Baseball Help, another discussion about our national pastime. I don't have any guests on my show today, but if you'd like to call in, feel free, 217-414-8313. You can ask a question, make a comment, or chime in on our sports debate that's coming up later in the show. The debate today is, what is your vote for the top five sports movies of all time? That's coming up later, should be a lot of fun. For now, I'm going to say a few more words about Indiana basketball. We've been talking about Indiana basketball a lot in the last few weeks. In fact, Podcast 4 was an entire podcast dedicated to Indiana basketball. But you know, I can't help but get excited about the future of these teams. Talking about the Pacers and the Hoosiers, of course. Let's start with the Pacers. 4-0 since firing Coach Jim O'Brien. Now, granted, they've played a pretty weak schedule in those games, but this is a team that never even won three in a row all season under O'Brien. Under Frank Vogel, they don't look like robots. They look like they're having fun. And, you know, my prediction of them making the playoffs this year looks a whole lot better right about now. Darren Collison looks amazing under Coach Vogel. Hansbrough's playing well. Hibbert's playing better. Dante Jones is actually finally getting some minutes. You know, Dante's a good player. He doesn't shoot very many threes, which I guess is a sin if you're someone named Jim O'Brien, but, you know, that's why he wasn't playing under him. But you got to be excited about this franchise moving forward, finally. Not sure if any of you saw this or not, but Mark Boyle, he's the radio announcer for the Pacers, also is a straight shooter, I might add. He tells it like it is. He's not a homer. He says that Paul George has a chance to be the best Pacers player he has ever seen in the 22 years that he's been broadcasting here. And yes, if you're wondering, that includes Reggie Miller. Paul George was picked at number 10 in the draft last year, and he's starting to look like a player with an incredibly high ceiling. To me, here's how you can tell the Pacers have a bright future. We've got four guys that I think could end up being our best player in 2 years' time. I'm really not sure which one will emerge as the best. Danny Granger, who is currently the best player, he could very well continue to be the best player on our team. But I could also see Darren Collison ending up to being our best player. And I could see Paul George ending up being our best player. And you know what? If Roy Hibbert keeps improving every year, You know, he would have a chance at that as well. These four guys, hopefully going to be playing together for many, many years. You add some veterans to this mix and look out. As for the Hoosiers, I can't say enough about the dunks this past week from Tom Pritchard and Will Sheehy. I literally jumped out of my seat when watching each of these dunks. Unfortunately, in the game of the Will Sheehy dunk, the Hoosiers lost a tough game to Iowa. This was on Sunday. And I got to tell you, it was Saturday. I got to tell you, that game really hurts their chances at making the NIT tournament. Right now, that puts them at 12-12. Last week's podcast, I said that IU needs to beat Minnesota, Iowa, and Northwestern at home to have a shot at the NIT. They did beat Minnesota, who was a ranked team. And they beat them without Christian Watford and Maurice Creek. But now with the Iowa loss, they're going to have to get another big upset or maybe even two the rest of the way in the Big Ten play and the Big Ten tournament to make the NIT. But you know what? They're coming together as a team. The future looks great. You know, lately I've been having some back and forth on Twitter with some fans who think IU won't even be good next year, and I just have to laugh. I mean, let's think about this. A starting lineup of senior Verdell Jones, juniors Christian Wofford, Maurice Creek, junior Jordan Holes, freshman sensation Cody Zeller. You know, that's impressive. And then you still have a solid bench. Guys like Sheehy, Oladipo, Etherington, Nelson, and Pritchard. Next year's team's going to the tournament. I'm continuing to tell everyone that every week if I have to. If they don't, I might pull an Oprah. Send all my listeners a prize in the mail or something if I'm wrong. I don't think I'm going to be wrong with that prediction. That's all for Indiana basketball on today's show. Going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'm going to discuss the state of the Chicago Cubs starting rotation, and then we'll do the sports movies debate. Don't go anywhere.
Your Green Bay Packers are world champions and bringing the Lombardi Trophy back home to Titletown. Celebrate our victory with authentic Super Bowl championship items direct from the team and the Packers Pro Shop. You'll find the same locker room hat and shirt the players wear, along with other t-shirts, polos, hoodies, drinkware, and lots more cool stuff. Shop for men, ladies, kids, all Packers fans. This is the stuff that gets you closer to your Super Bowl champions. The Packers Pro Shop at Lambeau Field or online at PackersProShop.com. They're singing, go, Cubs, go.
Man, I hope we hear that song a lot this coming summer. The Cubbies have some things to figure out if they're going to contend in 2011, but one thing is for sure, the starting rotation is going to be a strength. Matt Garza, Ryan Dempster, and Carlos Zambrano are the top three starters, not necessarily in that order. And then we could have a whole bunch of guys who will be competing for the 4 and 5 spots. Competition is healthy and good for your ball club. It's going to be an interesting spring training. Let's first start with this question. Who should be the opening day starter? I opened this question up on Twitter a few weeks back, and I was getting many different responses and reasons. Carlos Zambrano was probably the least picked candidate of the three, even though he's been the opening day starter for the last 6 or 7 years. Now, last year from Indiana, I drove all the way down to Atlanta for opening day just to watch Big Z give up 8 runs in 1 inning. Now, he did pitch extremely well the 2 opening days before that, and he was red hot at the end of last season. I'll say this, though, about Zambrano. Those of you worried about Zambrano if he doesn't get the nod on opening day, I'm seeing things from a bit of a different perspective. I think if Zambrano doesn't start opening day, it's going to be good for him. I think he'll have this mentality of wanting to get the ace status back, and I think it will drive him to want to do well for a full season. As a fan and a sports podcaster that likes to hype things up, I would love to see Matt Garza get the nod. Opening day, Wrigley Field, lot of buzz, give the ball to your newly acquired pitcher. But if you want my prediction, I think Mike Quadi is going to give Ryan Dempster the ball on opening day. And you know, Ryan Dempster deserves it, so I would be okay with it. To me, it really doesn't matter who starts on opening day. Bottom line is we're playing the Pirates, and we need to win no matter who it is. Rounding out the Cubs rotation, as for the 4 and 5 starters, this is going to be tough. I personally feel like Randy Wills deserves the fourth spot, and I don't think he should have to have some kind of amazing spring to lock that position up. I mean, the guy has pitched 2 years in the league. He's got an ERA in the low fours in his 2 years. Everybody acts like he was bad last year, but he still had a pretty darn strong ERA and lots of quality starts for being a four starter. And realistically, you don't see too many guys with those kind of ERAs in their first 2 years getting bumped out of the rotation. So Wells would be my four starter, which leaves Cashner, Silva, Coleman, and the rest of the gang for that fifth starter spot. It's always a tough thing in baseball to decide what's best for the team and also what's best for the player. In the case of Andrew Cashner, do the Cubs view him as a starter or reliever in the future? It's got to be tempting for Mike Quatty to put Silva in the rotation, as good as he was before injuries last year. And Q would have to salivate at how good the Cubs' pen could be if it included Cashner and Wood and Marshall and Marmol down there. But you also don't want a situation where Cashner's going back and forth between the rotation and bullpen like Jabba Chamberlain did in New York. If Cashner starts in the bullpen, he needs to stay there. Imagine if he starts in the bullpen, Carlos Silva goes down. I'd hate to see Cashner going back and forth. But you know what? Spring training, fun to watch for these position battles. And I think, personally, I think too much weight are put on the spring training starts. Like I mentioned earlier, if Wells gets knocked around a little bit this spring, I still would give him the nod, unless he's just getting rocked every single time out in spring training. Carlos Silva needs to prove he's healthy to have a shot. If he does prove that, I think he'll end up getting the fifth starter spot at least to start out the season. Also, don't rule out Casey Coleman if he has a good spring. Me personally, I don't think James Russell has any chance of making it, so I'm not even going to talk much about him. But I will say this, spring training is going to be very interesting this spring for this very reason. More Cubs talk is coming very soon as we get closer to opening day, just around the corner. We got to take one more quick commercial break, and we'll close the show with the sports movie debate right after this.
So what do you want your iPhone to be today? With the MLB app from the App Store, it can be a score checker, live pitch updater, or a video highlight player. But any way you cut it, it's officially a game changer.
Welcome back to TY's 20. We're going to end today's show with this, a highly anticipated sports debate. I'm going to give my top five best sports movies of all time. And I will say this, I definitely lean more towards the true story sports movies. In fact, four of my top five best sports movies of all time are based on true stories. And this is something that was tough to do because I like a lot of sports movies. Now, there are some that I haven't seen, so I'm sure I'll be leaving some off the list that you would prefer. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play a little bit of a clip from each of these movies, and I want to see if you, the listening audience, can name that movie before I give the answer. So here we go. Going to start with number five. Here's a clip from my fifth best sports movie of all time.
From the soles of your feet, with every ounce of blood you've got in your body, lay it on the line until the final whistle blows. And if you do that, we cannot lose. We may be behind on the scoreboard at the end of the game, but if you play like that, we cannot be defeated.
Coming in at number five on my list is the movie We Are Marshall. Now, this movie isn't recognized by a lot of people as being one of the best sports movies, but I can appreciate a lot of things about it. They went to the town, they made sure everything was right for the movie. You'll notice at the beginning of the movie, it says, "This is a true story." It doesn't say based on a true story, it says, "This is a true story." And it's also just an amazing overall story of how a program was rebuilt after a devastating tragedy. And without the efforts of a few men, they may have never had football again at that school. Marshall University was the winningest program in the decade of the 1990s in the NCAA. Just a great story and a great movie coming in at number 5 on my list. Here is a clip from movie number 4. Alright, so this one might have been an easy one for you sports lovers out there. Coming in at number 4 on my list is the movie Miracle. The Miracle on Ice, what a great story. Massive underdogs. The coach puts together not the most talented team, but a team built on chemistry and speed. And when everyone thought he was a moron, he led the United States to gold and perhaps the biggest upset of all time. This movie is very entertaining and tells the story very, very well. It's a must-see if you haven't seen it already. All right, here's the next clip. We are talking about number 3 on the list.
All right, you really stuck him, Campbell.
Yeah, I love me a little contact, Petey. This is left side. Strong side.
Left side.
Strong side.
Left side.
Strong side.
Left side.
Coming in at number 3 on the list is none other than Remember the Titans. This was such a great story. It was a story of a high school football program in Virginia. It was just a great movie. Denzel was great in it. It showed the great story of black and white coming together. I remember growing up as a kid watching this movie. I went to the theater 3 times to see it. I can quote pretty much the entire movie. One of the greats of all time. All right, now it is time for a clip from the number 2 greatest sports movie, in my opinion, of all time. Here we go.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
So I had to play the longer version of that, because that's one of the greatest speeches in the history of sports movies. Coming in at number 2 on my list is Field of Dreams. What a great baseball movie. This was a fictional story, of course, but one of the all-time classics. You know it's a good movie when people 30 years later still visit the field in Iowa and pretend to disappear in the cornfield. Such a great movie. And now the moment we've been waiting for. I don't know if there's any question on which movie I have decided is number 1 sports movie of all time, but I'm still going to play a clip. Here we go. Was there any doubt in your minds that my number 1 sports movie of all time is the movie Hoosiers? Of course, to me it is a perfect movie. There's not a single thing wrong with it. Not only my favorite sports movie of all time, but my favorite movie in general of all time. I just got a chance to watch it again a few weeks ago. A perfect depiction of Indiana basketball. If you haven't seen it, you must. So there you have it, my top 5. We Are Marshall, Miracle, Remember the Titans, Field of Dreams, and of course Hoosiers. I've got some honorable mentions because there's so many great movies out there. I love the movies in baseball, Major League, Little Big League, and Rookie of the Year. I love the movie Glory Road. I love the movie Coach Carter. I also love the movie 61. There's so many to choose from. Let me know what your top 5 were. Tweet me at sports_TYs20. That's going to do it for today's show. Baseball previews begin next week. I'll close out the show by playing the Hoosiers theme song. Thanks for joining me, and as Harry Carey would always say, only the shadows know. Have a great week.